Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. Amid widespread confusion about the impact of the Affordable Care Act and uncertainty about its future, Hawaii's principal health care providers are asking for double-digit increases in their premiums, both citing the ACA or its potential repeal as the reason. The proposed double-digit increases for HMSA and for Kaiser would affect some 74,000 people currently covered by the ACA. Gordon Ito has served as Hawaii's insurance commissioner under the past three governors, and he's with us in our studio to help us figure it all out. Gordon, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, aloha. Glad to be here, Chris.
There's quite a bit to figure out, as I'm sure in your interactions with the public. Do you sense confusion, uncertainty?
Yeah, there's much confusion and uncertainty with respect to what's happening on the Affordable Care Act, also known as ACA or Obamacare plans, in the individual and small group market, and the continuing requested, double-digit increases from HMSA and Kaiser.
When I looked at some news reports about the request, I was left wondering if, the ACA was the reason, or its imminent, or the possibility of its repeal was the reason. Is it or ain't it? Kind of.
Well, part of it can be attributed to the law in ACA, but part of it can be attributed to what's happening in really the overall healthcare market, because the healthcare expenditures continue to increase at 6 to 9% every year, far outpacing wages and inflation. So that's, one of the underlying reasons.
What are the drivers of those increases on that end, the expenditures end?
So on the expenditures, there's an aging population in Hawaii. Generally, the older you get, you utilize more medical services. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the drivers. Pharmaceutical costs with the new drugs that are coming, which are, some of them are very expensive. There's many, many factors impacting rates.
What has the ACA made better for people in Hawaii?
Well, I think what's often lost in really the discussion on ACA, whether it's good or bad, is, prior to ACA, if you had a pre-existing medical condition, medical insurers could deny you access to health care insurance. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, it's a lot better, because anybody who wants to buy health care insurance can buy, health care insurance. What's causing part of the problems, in particular the ACA individual pool, is the pool size is very small. There's only the ones from CMS, the Center for Medicaid Medical Services report, indicated for this year about 16,711 purchased from healthcare.gov. Put that 16,000 or 17,000 lives in context of the overall market of about 800,000 covered lives in the commercial health market, it's a very small pool.
Yeah.
So that's creating volatility. And there's a tendency the morbidity or the health of the individuals in the pool is sicker. And they're incurring or utilizing much more medical service on a percentage basis than the general population. So that's causing the rate request increases to
Why? Come in what high. Is it about that particular population? I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, again, with ACA, what's different from the ACA rate is and one of the controversial things is ACA plans are based on what they call age rating. Uh-huh. So the younger you are, the cheaper the plan is. And again, it's based on general insurance principles. So the older you get, your rates go up. But if you have a medical condition or serious medical condition, your rates don't skyrocket, because you have a serious medical condition last year, or you had like a $500,000 medical bill.
But the overall costs do skyrocket.
Yeah, the overall costs, but not on the individual basis. It's set really based on your age. Mm-hmm. That's how your rates are determined on the ACA plan.
So this particular population is older and perhaps sicker.
Yeah, so what's impacting the rate increases? By now, we were hoping that the ACA rate increase for individual and small group would start stabilizing. But the three factors that are really impacting the rates is, again, the pool size is small.
Right.
The morbidity is bad. The health of the people in the pool is bad. And also the uncertainty of what's happening with ACA. Mm-hmm. And two things in particular, One is that what we call the cost-sharing reduction, also known as CSRs, which are monies that are given by the federal government to help subsidize copay and deductibles for certain segment of the people in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to lose that CSR, about $10 million in revenue would be lost that the health plans would utilize. So that's causing about a 5 to 8% increase in the double-digit increase request.
The cost-sharing – let me just interrupt you briefly, Gordon. The cost-sharing reduction is meant to reduce the burden on individuals?
Yeah, on individuals' out-of-pocket costs, you know, when they do get medical, what they call – co-payments and
that's federal money.
Yes, federal money. And so what the debate now is whether that's going to be continued to be funded or not.
Mm-hmm.
The other impact is really the individual mandate. I mean, a part of ACA's requirement for all individuals to help have health care insurance, there's non-enforcement of it at the present time. And so what's happening is tendency, the younger, healthier people are not buying insurance. So mm-hmm. those younger, healthier people in that pool are leaving, making the morbidity worse than what it is.
When, in fact, what the system needs to thrive is an increase in the number of younger, healthier people, and that would sort of balance things out overall. Is that accurate?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's some of the things that are impacting the rate.
It does seem as if we're moving in the other direction, though, doesn't it?
Well, when you see on the ACA individuals, yes, definitely. And on the rates, you know, I keep saying these rates are not sustainable. And even on the general population rates in the large employer group plans and healthcare expenditures, 6 to 9%, it's not sustainable. We got to do something to address the healthcare cost drivers and bend that cost curve so you know, the increases are, say, 2 or 3%, not 6, 7, 9, 10, 15% every year.
What are the – when you say we got to do something, what are the somethings we can do?
So we are looking at it. So one thing on the ACA individual, we're looking at maybe potentially creating a high-risk reinsurance program to balance out the high-cost expenditures.
Insuring the insurance companies, in effect.
Yeah, basically they would – get reinsurance to cover the high mm-hmm. the high cost. The other thing we're looking at is we're at this very moment doing a data call to identify really what are the cost drivers. We did an initial data call, and it was very interesting because just over a three-year span for dialysis, I mean, the cost had gone from $7 million in 1 year to about $13 the next year to $24 million the following year and was projected to be over $26-27 million the following year, and that's just over a four-year span. So those are the things that we need to identify what's causing it and try to address, you know, the people who are ending up in, say, dialysis and really hopefully improve their health and avoid them from getting onto dialysis.
Well, part of that would come, I would hope, from advances in research, but part of it is just, you know, an industry policing itself at some point, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, there's abuses in certain areas that have to be addressed. But overall, I think Hawaii is a very unique state. We're very community-minded. I am very optimistic that we can identify really the cost drivers and developing programs to address it, to bend the cost curve. And I must say that, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services, they're doing a great job already in trying to address some of the issues.
Well, Gordon, I appreciate being able to introduce an optimistic note into this discussion, right? Always welcome. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Glad to be here.
Gordon Ito has served as Hawaii's insurance commissioner under Governors David Ige, Neil Abercrombie, and Linda Lingle.